Quinn's story is three Albanian men kidnapped her from her home. I don't know how she knows that they're Albanian, but okay.
Yeah.
They tied her up. They took her to the warehouse and she was there the entire time. And now over the next few days, the feds talk to Quinn more and more and they're taking photos of her injuries. And then suddenly she stops blaming her husband because it was all about her husband.
It's like then a few days later, she comes back and now like it's absolutely not Reed's fault at all.
She's got a brand new story. Here we go.
Okay. Julia Mazzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
What are we talking about today?
This is a new show that we haven't covered before. It's called Feds. This is season 2, episode 2. The episode is called Vanishing Act.
The Gray family was living the American dream. They were successful. They had a lovely family. They lived in a lovely area. How could it get any better?
The letter said that they wanted $50,000. If anything goes wrong, I'm dead. Is this an elaborate scheme to cover up a murder?
There are people crazy enough that would torture her and then kill her.
I did not get the money.
Oh my God!
We didn't know if she was dead or alive.
This series is great. I've only seen this one episode, but this episode is very good. And my favorite thing about this episode is how much the two at the center of this thing fucking hate each other.
They hate each other. But
they hate each other so much.
Before we get into all that, I just want to say this is yet another Octavia Spencer production.
Oh, really?
So first, the Lost Women series, which is excellent. We're going to get to the Lost Women of Alaska.
This feels less serious than that.
Yes. But also, excuse you, closed captioning, for just saying narrator. Hello, it's Ms. Octavia Spencer.
There's a narrator in this?
For like 2 seconds.
Okay, I'm like, did we watch the same episode?
Because no,
I'm suddenly not sure.
We did.
All right, we're in a place I'm calling Ponte Verde Beach. But
I think they say Vidra.
Vidra, that sounds
Ponte
better.
Vidra
Beach, Florida.
Full of multi-million-dollar homes that are part of one of the most beautiful stretches of beach in Northeast Florida. And the community there is very affluent. In an area like Ponte Vidra, crime is exceptionally rare.
Crime is exceptionally rare. Neighbors Holly and Leslie concur.
Holly says, it's the kind of place we didn't lock our door. Holly, you know how I feel about that. Don't be the reason you have to lock the doors. It's that simple.
At this point, you just sound like an idiot. I'm so sorry. But like lots of lawyers, doctors, some people drive Jaguars, lots of NFL players, lots of professional golfers.
I never need to go to this town. No. I never, ever need to go to this town.
Two people named Reed and Quinn Gray also live there. They have two little girls. They seemed, quote, very nice, normal, and lovely. And you immediately get the feeling that they are very much not any of those things.
No, Leslie wants to point out that Quinn's husband, Reed, is very fit. Very, very fit.
Pack it up, Leslie. We don't have time.
I know.
All of these houses are extremely nice, but they're also on top of each other. Like, there's no privacy at all between the homes, I noticed.
I also think they're too close to the beach. Like, whenever
they're,
I go on
the beach,
vacation and the room is on the beach, I'm like, one tsunami, we've seen this happen.
Yeah, it's beautiful for, like, a weekend, but it would be scary to live there.
It's too, like, one big storm and your whole $5 million house is flooded.
Yeah.
Holly says Reed and Quinn seemed like the perfect couple, the kind that would fit right in Ponte Vedra or whatever.
Scott Butler's here. He's the editor of the Florida Times Union. He's basically, like, he was a businessman. I don't know. He owns some kind of medical services company or something. Shit, who cares?
And he's gonna love to talk about it. It's the first thing out of his mouth in everybody that he talks to. He makes $1.3 million a year. Just ask him, he'll tell you.
That's the vibe of Scott, though. Like, whatever. I don't know. He runs some company. Who cares?
Yeah. David Shore is here. He's the former sheriff. It's Friday, September 4th, 2009, 5:25 p.m. Now, I'm just gonna say this at the top. Reed and Quinn are the married couple here. They hate each other. Reed calls 911 because his wife called him to let him know that she was kidnapped and her life is at stake, and Reed could give a shit.
Yeah, he included, you know, like there was a note at the house with all these gunmen, the gunmen's demands, including if you call the police, I'll shoot you. So David is like,
and Reed did what people do, they call police because they don't know what to do. He didn't sound traumatized, but, you know, he sounded mystified. Genuinely came across as somebody who had no idea what was going on.
Reed doesn't care. He does not want his wife to come home.
Now, Holly, the neighbor, is here to say that we always banished our children to the East Wing during parties. I'm kidding. She says upstairs.
But I wrote that down, too. And I gotta tell you, like, I beg Daisy to join our dinner parties. Like, I want the kids to be a part of it.
I very much appreciate that the kids are upstairs during the dinner party, but it's very, like, we banished them to the East Wing.
It's just why. I don't love that they're upstairs. I'm like, can your kids be a part of your life or no? I guess not. But she says, I'll never forget our son coming down the stairs, her like terrified son walked down the stairs, interrupting the dinner party to tell the parents that there are men in suits with big guns in the yard.
Yeah. And he's like, Mom, there's like an actual SWAT team outside.
There's a SWAT team. Like, I think that that's the, she's like, and you don't come down unless there's a SWAT team in the garden.
I mean, the gag is that he's probably a very well-behaved kid.
Yeah.
They're always Grayson. The ones who are banished to the East Wing.
Yeah.
But we see the actual SWAT footage from when they busted into the house.
They kick the door open.
So here's what they see.
There was no signs of forced entry. Interestingly, there was a wedding album and some pictures that were open. And then we found a ransom note that was left on the countertop in Quinn's handwriting.
There's the ransom note. I'm going to slow down on this for a long time. It's written in Quinn's handwriting.
It's very long, written in cursive.
Yeah, I can read the whole thing if you'd like. Okay. I don't have to do
Maybe
that.
Maybe give us the Cliff's notes?
Yeah, it's very... First of all, the handwriting is amazing for someone being kidnapped.
No question.
Doesn't look nervous at
this
all.
This lady learned not a thing from Patsy Ramsey. Not a single thing.
Not a single goddamn thing. She's going on and on and on and on. They're not going to hurt me if you give them the money. Blah, blah, blah. She's signs it saying, I will be okay if you get them the money. When you bring the money tomorrow, bring the kids with you. Wear a tight, underlined t-shirt tomorrow, underlined.
What?
Please do this, honey. Please, Quinn. Very worried for a ransom note.
She's telling her husband how to dress for the kidnap swap?
Yeah. She's also giving a lot of details about the dollar amounts and the math to get that 50 grand. I do want to slow down.
Okay. Girl, Shopify is back. Look, we've been using Shopify since we launched TCO 10 years ago. And fam, if you've been sitting on a business idea, Shopify makes it easy to make it happen. Everything you need to start selling is included and ready from day one.
Yeah, and because Shopify handles the setup and checkout, you have more time to focus on growing your business and the tools to do it. So you're not like worrying about tech support. You're doing your thing.
Exactly. That's what you're there for. That's what they're there for.
And Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide. Millions.
Yeah.
From household names like Mattel.
Ooh.
To small businesses just getting started. Hey, that could be you.
And like everywhere in between, like TCO, thank you, Shopify.
Yeah.
The thing about Shopify, we're the creatives, right? Like we're good at like making the thing. They are good at handling the back end of all of this stuff, making it so simple, making it so user-friendly. Their customer service is fantastic.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be with them 10 years later if like it wasn't super easy and fast and simple to understand.
Yeah. And Shopify checkout has this thing where like when someone comes back, all of their details are already saved.
Oh, that is the best.
So then it becomes like one tap and done, which is great for them, even better for you.
Exactly.
Right?
So fam, with Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business.
So go make it one.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/obsessed.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/obsessed. So they need $50,000 or she's going to be killed or whatever. So she knows that he can't get more than $9,500 out of the bank at one time. She just like knows that information. She also knows that they only have $7,000 in the bank, which one seems very low for fancy rich people like this.
$1.3 million. He's going to say three times in this episode alone.
Also, she just knows that. Yeah. On top of her head.
Uh-huh.
Then she tells him that in order to get the rest of the $43,000, right? So they have $7,000 in the bank that she just knows.
Yeah.
So that's 50 minus 7. So now we need $43,000, right? So she tells him that he needs to get $9,500, which is the max you can get, which she knows off the top of her head, at four different locations. But her math is wrong.
Oh.
Like 50 minus 7 is 43. $43,000 is what they need.
Yeah.
$9,500 times 4 is only $38,000. So she's still $5,000 short.
You're getting yourself killed, Quinn. He's going to show up in his tight t-shirt with not enough money and you are going to die.
It's just way too long and neatly written for a ransom note that three scary men are forcing her to write. And she keeps calling him, honey, like, please, honey, don't. Like, they have a GPS tracker on your car. Don't tell anyone. Don't do this. Like, wrap it up.
I also feel like like, if we got Reed's take on this, it'd be the best 50 grand he ever spent. Just get rid of her.
Get her away.
So David is here. Are we done? Can we move on?
Yeah, the cops get the feds involved right away.
The feds are involved. David from the feds is here. He says,
kidnapping is extremely rare and a very high risk of an event as you can get. It's beyond the pale for us. So we reached out to our federal partners, and the best one in this was the FBI, because that's kidnapping. That's what they do.
We get them involved because kidnapping is what they do.
Well, so, like, we get the FBI, Tony, and Alex, and she's like, every single second counts,
yeah.
Tony's saying, right? But Alex is like, I cannot stress this enough how rare this is.
Yes.
This never, never happens. And, like, every FBI field office has kidnapping protocol. But again,
yeah.
It's very rare, so we rarely actually use it.
It's funny, too, because when we meet Tony, Tony's a woman, and she's the assistant special agent in charge in Jacksonville. She gets one of those establishing shots where she's walking down the hallway in a business suit. I fucking love this. I love when we get a badass woman in a business suit walking down a hall. But my question is always, why do they participate in these? I'm glad they do. Maybe it's fun for them. Maybe they think there's, like, public interest involved in this. But I'm like, why? Like, I can never figure out why Tony, a very, very smart woman with yeah. definitely better things to do today, why is she here?
When Octavia Spencer calls, you sit
that
down
is a very good call. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
If she called me right now, I'd be like, I have to go.
Like, I just wonder what Octavia Spencer's pitch is. Like, Tony, we really got to hear this
like,
story.
And we're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Because I'm Octavia Spencer. Didn't you watch Lost Women of Highway 20 and Lost Women of Alaska? Yes.
It's also a wild story. Like, I think that, like, one of the reasons they talk is because, like, it's wild. Like, no one's going to believe this. We got to tell
it. Dear listener, you hear from my tone. The cunty tone is back, and it's for
yeah.
a reason.
I'm not reading
that ransom note like that because I believe her.
We don't want Quinn to die. Like, we are.
No. But, like, FBI Alex says, here's why kidnapping is so rare.
It's very difficult to hold somebody hostage. You have to feed them. You have to shelter them. You have to keep them away from the rest of the world. This is very hard to do.
So I was like, it sounds like having a newborn baby. Isn't that what's having a newborn baby is like?
Yes. And also, I've been educated. You don't start sleep training at day one. I'm just going to reiterate this point over it. Sorry, Lindsay. You don't start sleep training at day one.
Well,
it was
really
12
upset.
Years ago. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But also, not to bring the temp down, because I love the vibe in the room, but like, this, I could just think about Nancy Guthrie when we were doing this. Like, this, you know what I mean? The whole,
this
like...
Remember, this is coming out months from now.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going to
well,
be happening.
Where we are right now on April 20th, like, Nancy Guthrie is still not found. We're, like, 80 days in. And, like they took her. They got to keep her alive. Like, my point is just, it's a lot of fucking work.
It's a lot of work. So a few hours later, they find Quinn's car abandoned near a fancy pants spa. Also, the kids are fine. I don't know where they are, but they're fine, apparently. There are two kids.
And the SWAT team's about to move in. Like, the SWAT team's moving into the house in case the kidnappers come back and demand that Reed and the kids write their own cursive notes.
Three pages,
perfectly indented, nary a cross out, no whiteout anywhere in
sight.
Honey,
please.
I know. Wear a
tight
shirt.
Darling, please.
Wear a tight shirt, don't bring enough money, and please get me back.
And what kidnappers don't know exactly how to get the 50 grand? How are you off by $5,000? It doesn't make sense.
Also, why only 50 grand? If this guy's worth millions, why only 50 grand?
Nothing makes sense.
No.
So we dive into the investigation. The first person they look at is obviously Reed, the husband.
Yeah.
We see the interview. He's not concerned. He's bored. He's pretty argumentative.
He couldn't care less. Like the Scott.
Thank you for saying that, right?
What do people usually say?
Could.
They couldn't.
Like, you literally couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less. He could not care less. I mean, he could care less. You know what I mean? But he couldn't care.
He could
less.
Not. They ask him about the mud on his shoes, and he's like,
if you're asking if there's anything on my shoes, which there's not, that tells me you don't have any leads.
It tells us we don't rule anything out.
Okay.
And he's sitting there with his head in his hands, annoyed by the whole process. And then he starts getting obnoxious, dropping this 1.3 million. 50 grand doesn't mean much. And I'm like, great, so then what's the problem? Arrange the handoff.
I know.
Like, spring the cops on him, bada bing, bada boom, we'll all be home before dinner. If 50 grand is nothing to sneeze at for you, then where is it?
I'm surprised this guy called the cops. Wait till these two get on the phone together in a minute.
Well, because Reed admits that their marriage, quote, has an ugly side.
Yeah.
And that Quinn goes out all the time, and she's out till 3 a.m., and then and she comes home hammered with her underwear in her purse. I think the implication is that she had sex and then put the undies back in her purse.
But it's also like, Reed's like, she's dating, I'm dating. I'm like, this is a wild marriage.
And like, Reed has threatened to divorce Quinn. Like, their relationship is really not good.
It's really bad. And he's like, if we're going to get her back, can I have the weekend?
But it looks like the cops are like, I don't know why he's telling us this, because now we're really going to look at the husband.
Yes. Because they're thinking, like, is this a cover up for like a murder? Like, is this a very like elaborate cover up because you killed her?
Right. So now it's 17 hours since the 911 call. I love that it's not 17 hours missing, because we're really not sure what's going on here. Reed gets another phone call from his wife, Quinn. Now, remember, Quinn called Reed 17 hours ago, and that's why Reed called 911. This is her second phone call to her husband.
We hear the call, and they just sound like a bickering couple, because she's screaming her head
off. She's mad at him already.
What are you talking about?
You guys
have been fighting all night long. What the f*** is wrong with you? You're in the car with the money. You can go down Butler Boulevard and take a left on South.
I gotta write this down. You can't.
Don't get this out.
She's trying to give him driving directions, and he's like, just, can you calm down? I gotta write it down. I need a pen.
Well, this was just such a throwback to the Californians on SNL.
Oh, like, I don't know.
Stuart, what are you doing here? So it's the Californians, and the whole thing is they have that like very stereotypical California accent, but everything they do is about giving people directions because that's what you do in California. So it's like, I think you should go home, get back on San Vicente, take it to the 10, switch over to the 405 North, and let it dump you onto Mulholland where you belong. But it's very, because she's like, get in the car, go down Butler Boulevard, take a left on South Side. Literally, that's a direct quote.
But then meanwhile, he's like, well, can you slow down? I need a pen. Like, can you imagine Mike is missing? Mike calls you and is giving you directions as to where to wear your tight t-shirt to go pick him up with not enough money. You know what I mean? You'd be running, screaming to the car.
Right.
Reed is annoyed that he's got to get up. He doesn't know where any of the pens
are. She's mad at him. I've been tied up all night. Girl, I didn't do anything. Do you want the 50 grand or not?
They are having the most annoyed, like, where's the pen conversation over the phone. She's been kidnapped. It is wild.
Then they're fighting about other... It's so ridiculous. So the sheriff just says to us now, she was adamant that he go get the cash and go down Butler Boulevard. Famous Butler Boulevard.
Yeah.
And the feds are like, okay, so the good news is that Quinn is alive. And Reed's like,
good news for who?
Yeah, it's like, good news for who, assholes? He fucking hates her.
Yeah.
Quinn calls back again. This is the third phone call. She just keeps getting more and more specific. Take the 10 to exit 13 and then a left on Butler Boulevard. I swear to God, that's what she's saying.
I know.
Two questions. Know. One, why can't they trace the calls? And two, why is it so quiet? There are three big scary guys kidnapping her, right?
Literally. And like, no one is taking this seriously except for like all of the feds. Tony's like, well, the level of fear and desperation in her voice, she really sounded like somebody who believes that her life is in danger. And I'm like, yeah, she does. You know what I mean? But it also feels like even Reed doesn't believe it.
Anything to get in a fight with her husband.
Anything to get in a fight. Why do they hate each other so much? I just want to know, like, how long have they been married? When did it start to go? It started to go bad on the honeymoon.
It's also like, don't make me side with the fucking husband, you bitch. But like, I get why he hates her. But like, don't make me side with him.
I know. Well, he seems like a piece of shit too.
He does. But like, I get, they're both insufferable.
Yeah. Girl, earning is back. Look, this is all about not waiting to get paid the money you've already earned. This is about getting that money when you want it or when you need it.
Yeah, so it gives you access to what you've already worked for and earned, up to $150 a day or $1,000 in between paydays.
Yeah, and look, Earnin is a non-bank finance app, 5 million people and growing.
And it's for anything that you would need in between paydays. Like,
right.
Whether you're treating yourself, whether it's like groceries, like anything you need, that $100 a day can go a long way.
No joke. So fam, download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play, spelled like earning money without the G.
Type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast when you sign up, because it'll really help the show.
Give them the mandatory disclaimers, girl.
All right. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect service.
Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details. So off we go to the big money drop. Quinn calls again, call number 4. Ding, mark it at home. She says,
spotted 3 Fed cars, so I don't know where I'm going now. We need to wait for more instructions.
Suspects were upset because they observed some cars that they thought were Fed cars.
What it showed is that they are watching and that they're very surveillance conscious.
They've clocked the feds. They're taking me somewhere else. I will call you a fifth time for more instructions.
And also, I gotta say, in fairness, like, the feds are driving, like, big black SUVs. Like, they're not trying very hard to hide.
As exceptionally rare as kidnapping is, I also think the hostage being able to call their husband at least four times is even rarer.
And nobody, like, Tony never says, we had our doubts. Like, you get the feeling that, like, you can't, like, you had to be a little suspicious that all is not what it seems. Right, Tony? Like, come on.
So she stops calling her husband, and now she's calling her mother, Gail.
Like, the poor mom. I cannot imagine getting a call from my daughter who's like, I tried calling my piece of shit husband four times to tell him to wear the tight t-shirt and gather the money. He's not doing it. Can you handle this for us now, mom?
And so she, the most communicative hostage of all time, now texting her mother, have the money in a bag, no traceable devices, no read whatsoever, no cops, be ready to leave at 11, go to Michler's Landing, there you will find further instructions in a restroom. Off we go to Michler's Landing. It's 11 a.m.
The thing is, I don't know. I don't understand these kidnappers who put a note in a bathroom and think nobody's going to take it. That it's still going to be there. But the mom goes.
Well, speaking of notes, we get note number two, also in Quinn's handwriting.
Gloriously written in beautiful cursive is my note here.
Mom, so far I'm fine. No harm has been done to me.
Please, after you pick up this letter, you are going to drive north towards Joe's Crab Shack. Drop the money out of the car and do not look back. Anything goes wrong, I'm dead.
This money drop instruction is absolutely insane. They want 50 grand in cash to be delivered by this frantic mother dropped in an intersection in, like, the busiest part of town. Tony is like, what the fuck is going on here?
And the end of the letter ends with, they won't hurt you or me as long as everything goes fine. Reed is the one they're looking for. Quinn. Then, P.S., all underlined, do not let Reed follow you, who he almost got me killed twice already. In the letter.
Wait, because, we missed this earlier, but apparently the story here is that this is the 50 grand that was lent to Reed that these people are trying to get back. Why does a guy who's making $1.3 million a year need 50 grand to be lent to him?
More importantly, this
by like loan sharks.
Right. More importantly, this ransom note made me think of Catch Me If You Can.
Ooh.
In the movie where the girl is like trying to hand the teacher the fake note like from her mom.
Uh-huh.
And Leo is like, you should fold that. And she's like, why? It's from my mom. And he was like, right, but when your mom hands you a note, what do? The first thing you do is you fold it and put it in your pocket. So like, if it's real, where's the crease? And so, and then she like folds it quickly to make the crease.
If it's real, where's the crease?
I mean, if it's real, where's the crease? It's like peak Leo. It's so good. But it's like, where's the fucking crease? Why is this, again, neat writing, a perfect, pristine, just like place there.
Octavia, I love you, mean it, but it feels like there's a lot being left out of the story. Like there's a lot of like, and you know what? I'm going to give it to you for the storytelling because I fucking loved this episode. I watched it twice. I was totally obsessed. Like, but it feels like Octavia did a lot of like, don't tell us what you really thought.
Sure.
Give us like the story.
She wants the big reveal at the end.
100%. I bet nobody can see coming.
Which I was going to say, we see coming from a mile away. Yeah. But I just love, it's like, hi mom, how are you? I'm doing well. So here are the instructions.
In cursive.
Like, this one is actually in print, weirdly enough, still very neat. My handwriting's a mess anyway when I don't have three men threatening to kill me.
And they don't teach cursive anymore, by the way. Like, it's a lost art.
They don't teach it?
You okay? Yeah, they don't teach cursive anymore.
How do you sign your name?
I don't know. I guess you probably
you need,
on your computer.
You need, like, signatures for things sometimes?
Maybe. But, like, I don't think they teach it anymore. Lindsay, am I wrong again? I don't know.
Everyone's got to get a fucking grip about sleep training.
Lindsay is like my bestie. I love her. And she was just like, girl,
she wasn't the only one.
No, there was a lot of people that were like, girl. But then there was like the one woman who was like, thank you so much for recognizing that Daisy did not need or like did not want the sleep training. I don't want to start World War III with sleep training because you know you can. Like that's a can of worms.
Okay.
I don't wander into this territory, girl.
Don't believe me. And leave your kids up in the East Wing when I come over for dinner. Anyway, also, so there's a lot of specific instructions and where they have to go and blah, 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 blah. So all of these ransom notes are super long. They say the same thing over and over again. Specific instructions. You have to do what they say or she's dead. And there are three big scary men and she's in so much danger.
And like, this is all now being handled by the frantic mother. This is unforgivable.
And so FBI Tony's like, here's why this is tricky.
This is a holiday Sunday and a holiday weekend, and they're wanting Quinn's mom to drop $50,000 out the window of a car in a public parking lot with that kind of traffic. I mean, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
It's one of the busiest intersections in the area on a Sunday afternoon of a holiday weekend, and it's a gorgeous, stunning day.
Tony is like, what are we doing here? Like, this is everybody's first kidnapping. What the hell is this?
So now they want Quinn's mom to throw 50 grand out the window of a car in like the busiest day on a gorgeous summer day. Like, shut up.
But then Quinn's mom is the mommest mom who ever mommed, because she is literally, she's got the 50 grand in the bag. She's about to make the drop. She calls the FBI. She's like, are you guys watching? Because I don't want a stranger picking up this bag of 50 grand and then my kid gets killed.
Right. Well, also the money bag has a tracker on it.
Yeah. Which is like so dumb. Like, that was the one thing they said don't do.
Yeah. But like, how are we going to?
I don't know, but like, we're going to see the guy who picks the bag up finds the tracker in no time flat. Yeah. I mean, I guess by that point, Quinn's out of the car, hopefully, but maybe not. And if she's not, she's dead.
Well, she's not out of the car. Like, Quinn's mom makes the drop, and now we wait, they say. Some guy comes out, grabs the bag. The kidnappers find the tracking device. They throw it out the window. The feds are following them anyway. And cue Nathan Fielder. I hope you're hungry for nothing, because this is a goddamn nothing burger.
But it was kind of amazing to me, because what happens is we hear the 911 call. The guys who picked up the bag, it's four German tennis players who are in town on a tennis tournament who, now, hear me out here and tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. They absolutely realized there was money in that bag and were going to keep it until they saw how much, because they went through the trouble of throwing the tracker out the window.
Yeah.
If you weren't going to keep that cash, you wouldn't have even looked for a tracker. You would have opened. And the only reason they didn't keep it was because
they had nothing to do with this kidnapping. They were terrified that they were being followed by drug dealers, and they were being followed by law enforcement.
These guys thought they were being followed by drug dealers.
Unless you want to say, oh, I don't want the bad guys to follow me, but it's probably to keep the $50,000.
They were going
to
keep it, and then they
realized. Which is a stupid fucking idea, by the way.
And also, like, it's in U.S. dollars. You guys are from Germany. Like, you're going home tomorrow. What are you going to do? These guys are absolutely terrified, and they were definitely going to keep the money.
Right. Well, they don't. They handed it over. They had nothing to do with us.
No. But put him in jail anyway. Just for a day. Scare him straight.
One of the kidnappers calls Quinn's mom. I'm sick and tired of this bullshit. We didn't get the money, and Reed needs to give us the money. And then there's a gunshot. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second.
Yeah. Because this is the first time we hear from the kidnapper. This is the first, like, apparently Quinn's too busy to call and scream at these people.
First of all, you not getting the money is on you, kidnapper.
Yeah.
Also, why are you making demands for $50,000 and then you're going to shoot the collateral? Like, forgive my bluntness right now, but like, you only kill them when there's no chance of getting the money. I'm sorry to say it that way.
No,
but
it's
like,
true.
You don't demand the money and then kill them. Like, that's not how it works.
Once again, this doesn't make sense. It's everybody's first kidnapping.
Everybody.
But then they're also wondering, like, does that gunshot mean she's dead? This is the first time we've heard from the kidnapper. Like, is that it? Like, are they going to dispose of the body and move on?
No. Then it's like 12 hours later, 66 hours since the 911 call, Quinn makes her fifth phone call. And this time it is finally to the police.
Yeah.
She's hysterical. She doesn't know where she is.
She's in a warehouse. She's been tied to a chair with zip ties and duct tape. You have no idea what I've just been through.
She's miraculously gotten herself free and escaped three kidnappers.
Can I tell you something? I think the expression "you have no idea ... is so rude. I've always thought that it's so rude.
For her to say, you have no idea what I went through?
No, granted, if we were to believe Quinn's story, which nobody does, but if we did, and I don't think anybody on the other end of that call believes it either, but to just, when you are like having a conversation with somebody, you're like, you have no idea what it was like. That is so aggressive.
It's a little, what's the word? Like, diminishing.
It is. It's very like, I don't know. It's one of those expressions that I consciously never say it. Even if someone is like, did you have a great vacation? You have no idea. I never say that because just feels rude.
But sometimes, yes. So what's the alternative? Because sometimes people can't understand it unless they've lived it. So like, what's the alternative to
I don't know. I've never, maybe in that situation I would use it, but it's one of those expressions I clock as like, I find it very rude.
Like, don't like it.
You have no idea. It's like, that's just rude.
Well, when you say it like that with that little face.
I know. Well, that's how she screamed it. You have no idea what I've been through.
It's like, okay, well, you escaped.
And can I tell you too, the 911 dispatcher here is very amazing. She's like, I know, I can't even imagine, and I'm so sorry. Like, whatever empathy training that 911 dispatcher had, she's putting it to use. Girl, Batch Micromints is back. Look, if you're like me, you've taken the gummy or whatever one too many times and been hit way too hard. That is exactly the problem that Batch Micromints is here to solve.
Right. So they look just like breath mints, but each one is a real microdose of just 1 milligram of THC. So it's a very approachable and controlled experience.
Yeah, they say it's more like a glass of wine where like you feel more relaxed, a little looser, but still you.
Yeah. And like you take one, you see how you feel. If you want another one, you just take another one. I've been there.
Yes.
Where I'm like, wow, this sucks right now. Yep. Like, I really should have held back. And now you can.
And by the way, if you're looking to drink less and like not have that horrible hangover in the morning, this is where the batch micromints come in. This is the replacement you've been looking for.
Yeah, it's a nice way to like take the edge off or relax after a long day.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So fam, get 30% off your first order when you head to hellobatch.com/obsessed with promo code obsessed.
That's hellobatch.com/obsessed with promo code obsessed at checkout.
The 30% off is good towards subscriptions too, so you can lock in that discount on your monthly supply.
Yeah, we're locking in discounts, not ourselves to the couch.
No!
You know what I mean?
Totally. Well done, JP.
I just came up with that.
Good work.
Really? Thanks.
Girl, what do you get when you combine bingo-style bonuses and slots? Cashingo!
DraftKings Casino is the exclusive place to play Cashingo slots.
New casino players play $5 and get 1,000 flex spins.
Claim 50 spins a day for 20 days on your choice of over 100 slots, including the exclusive Cashingo collection.
Download the DraftKings Casino app and sign up with code TCO to claim your flex spins and experience Cashingo, the feature you can't play anywhere else.
The crown is yours in partnership with DraftKings Casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org.
Play responsibly. 21 plus, physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility restrictions apply.
Non-withdrawable spins issued as 50 spins per day for 20 days. Valid for select games only and expire each day after 24 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Ends July 22nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
You were born for this.
Now we meet FBI Gary. He's the supervisor. And I'm like, ruh-roh, who called dad? So he says the kidnappers released Quinn at the local mall, which is another very public place.
Yeah.
And now Quinn is with the FBI and she's instantly blaming her husband for all of this.
No, she walks into the FBI office and starts screaming.
The moment she comes into the office, she starts screaming that we were all trying to get her killed. And we had no idea what we were doing, just really raving.
And she started blaming her husband, Reed Gray.
Right now, I feel like my husband wanted me dead, 100%.
Why is that?
The man makes a lot of money. Let's just say that maybe my life isn't worth him paying it back.
You all were trying to have me killed. You have no idea what you were doing.
Give her back.
Give her back. Sorry. Give her. Enough. The husband doesn't want her back. The FBI is mad that they helped her.
Like, how did they not kill you?
Can you imagine going to the FBI and being like, you were trying to have me? I think she's obviously overacting. She's like trying to like have a fake a trauma response or something.
Well, because she's saying like 50 grand is nothing to my husband. My life isn't even worth him paying it back. He has a dark and sinister side. And you know what? Now that we're talking about it, I've always sensed it, even though I've never said it to anybody before. Which
yeah.
I know happens, but this woman's an asshole.
Yeah.
So Quinn's story is three Albanian men kidnapped her from her home.
Yes.
I don't know how she knows that they're Albanian, but okay.
Yeah.
They tied her up. They took her to the warehouse and she was there the entire time. And
yeah.
Now over the next few days, the feds talk to Quinn more and more and they're taking photos of her injuries. And then suddenly she stops blaming her husband because it was all about her husband.
It's like then a few days later, she comes back and now like it's absolutely not Reed's fault at all.
She's got a brand new story. Here we go.
Okay. Okay.
Whenever they shift and now they have a totally new story, my response is always, here we go. Oh,
because
boy.
the other thing about the shift in the narrative is that it goes from one, instead of three guys, we're now down to just one guy. Quinn, why?
And they brainwashed, this one person brainwashed her into thinking that her husband was behind this.
Yeah.
But he's really not behind this at
and
all.
She says the kidnapper took her to an auto body shop where she was bound the entire time. He put duct tape around her face. She thought the kidnapper was going to torture and kill her. Now the crocodile tears.
Well, because we see the footage and
yeah.
She's like focused, calm, cool, collected, and she's acting it out. She has no trouble. She's like, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, like, literally the trauma's gone. Like,
and
she's fine.
She sounds like she's crying, but she's not.
Yeah.
Lots of details, lots of stories. And then she starts talking about how she had sex with these men. Now we're back to multiple men.
Yes.
We were just one man, and now we're back to multiple men. And she was having sex with all of them to stay alive. She says,
so I tried to make it the best possible. The more he loves it. Maybe I have a chance. You know what I mean?
Right,
I don't know if I was
sense.
Thinking, but
it makes sense.
I mean, we just every position all night long. And I acted like I enjoyed it. And I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I almost did.
she was making it the best sex possible because the more he loved it, the better chance she had at survival. She's talking about how this guy liked her pussy, talking about her orgasms. And I just want to—
I can't believe you just said that word.
I whispered it.
You barely said it.
I just want to stop for a second.
Yeah.
Remember stalking Samantha?
Of course.
Remember how Samantha told us about her experience?
How about taking the room down?
Well— because that actually happened. The difference in the storytelling, I know there's no perfect victim. I know that trauma, blah, 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 blah. But that's not what we're talking about here because this woman sucks. Right. So like what happened to Samantha actually happened. What the story that she's telling here is bullshit.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. And like to which I say, fuck you, Quinn. You're a liar and a terrible person.
How, oh my God.
How dare you?
I can't believe it took this long in the episode for you to get to that.
I was implied.
I know.
It was pretty strongly implied.
The cunty tone is back, which I greatly appreciate.
But there is this like woman detective in the room and we're told that she couldn't even hide her reaction, that she like sat back, throws her hands up and makes this like guffawing noise. Like, are you fucking kidding
it's
me?
It's so horrifying. No, if this were Quinn's real experience and she really was doing it to survive, then
it's
like
different.
But it, and it's so clearly just not true.
It's not true.
Yeah.
She also drops that at one point they take her to the Emerson Inn. So this is brand new information, but it's a big lead because it's a real place they can go
and, it
and ask questions.
Fancy. The Emerson Inn?
It's not.
It sounds like a roaring fireplace in the lobby.
No, we're told it's in a sketchy part of town, lots of drugs.
Yeah, lots of sex work, lots of drugs. But you know what? The staff is fucking awesome because the FBI shows up with pictures of Quinn and they remember her.
They remembered that she was with a male. And that the two seemed like a normal couple together. They were very comfortable with one another, and Quinn did not show any signs of distress or duress. He told us also that Quinn had been in the room by herself and that the man had come and gone and had left her there periodically.
And the kicker is that the man would come and go and that Quinn would be there by herself for a lot of the time. And so the feds are like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
So one, we're back to only one guy.
Yeah.
He was leaving her alone all the time, more than once. And she stayed and didn't even make a call for help. What is going on here?
I know. And like, he's just like, this is very odd. But once again, I feel like Octavia's like, can you pretend you were surprised?
Just tell us the next thing. Yeah. Just tell us the next thing. Don't editorialize. Just like, tell us.
I like Octavia on like Zoom for the entire like process. Can you take it again?
Wait till we cover Lost Women of Alaska. It's so good.
Really?
It's so good.
I like the cunty tone. Can we stay with the cunty tone?
For this, yeah.
Okay.
But Quinn also said that this guy left her once to go get chicken wings from Publix. And the feds are like, great. They have an excellent surveillance system. We will be right there.
And I was suddenly starving. And also, it turns out not to be chicken wings. It turns out to be fried chicken, which is very different.
It's fried chicken. And they put this guy buying fried chicken all over the news. And the guy calls 911 and he's like, yeah, hi. Can you please take my picture off of the news?
He's like, is that me? My favorite part of this whole thing is the 911 exchange. He's like, hi, my picture's on the news. And the 911 dispatcher goes, is that you? He's like laughing.
And the guy's like, yeah, but I didn't do anything. So can you like please take my image off the news.
Yeah. And so they bring him in. We learn his name is Jasmine Osmanovic.
Yeah.
He's an immigrant from Bosnia. He is an auto mechanic. He works at a body shop in Jacksonville. We're starting to hear some words we've heard from Quinn's story, like body shop.
Right.
So at first, I think we're going to like this guy because you're like, oh God, innocent victim. Like, what the hell is going on here? But he comes in for his police interview and he's an asshole.
Yeah, and we see the video. So he's like cocky and arrogant. And he's like, Quinn is just some random white lady. I don't know her because they're showing pictures of Quinn. He's like, she just looks like every other rich white lady in this town. I don't know her. I didn't abduct her. Like, the feds are like, this is all a big waste of time.
And the FBI is like, would it surprise you if I told you that I have more than enough evidence to arrest you for abducting and raping her right now?
Well, the cops, this is absolutely not true. They are lying to him. Obviously, but they tell him like, we can arrest you right now and you're going to go down for this forever. So like, you, this is where you have to tell the truth, but they threaten him enough. That is not true at all. The feds have nothing. The cops have nothing.
Yeah.
But like, this is why they legally lie to you, everybody.
Yeah.
So just say the magic word lawyer, but they threaten him enough. And Jasmine starts to finally talk, which is exactly why they lied to him.
Now, this guy, like asshole as he might be, is kind of smart.
And that's when Osmanovic said that he had a secret recording that he had made when he was with Quinn Gray that would prove his innocence.
And I put a tape recorder with her voice and my voice in front of you, which I can go get.
Tell me about these tapes. What's on these tapes?
Sir, the tape is not going nowhere out of my possession.
He has a recording.
It's an insurance policy.
He's not going to produce it until he's good and ready. I'm going to give it to you in a certain moment. But this recording is going to exonerate me. I did not kidnap her. I did not rape her. She was there for free will. And the FBI guys are like, this is the moment.
I got news for you, buddy.
Yeah, the time is now.
Now
girl.
Is the right time.
This is the time. Girl, Ollie is back. I'm going to shut the heck up and let you tell us everything.
Well, okay. If anyone gets being dog obsessed, it's not just me, it's Ollie.
Yeah.
Okay? They deliver fresh, human-grade food in 5 drool-worthy flavors. These pups are living their best lives.
Yeah. So listen, Ollie's fresh recipes are developed by real chefs with gut-friendly ingredients that support better digestion, energy, skin health, and poops. And
let me
tell you, in my house, Golden's tummy was very sensitive when we first got him. Yeah. Ollie changed all of that for us.
Yeah, they have flavors like fresh beef with sweet potatoes or fresh turkey with blueberries. Delicious.
Ollie, can I have some?
I mean, they're human grade.
Yeah.
Well, take a bite.
Maybe I will.
Take a bite.
Golden will not allow it.
Okay.
Also, Ollie offers health tracking in their app so you can keep up with your pup's health and see the difference the food is making in their life.
And like the minute you start your subscription, everything is tailored to your sweet little pup. So the meals are perfectly portioned. You get a puptainer.
Oh, come on.
And a scoop for easy storing and serving. It's so cute. Like, they have their little things.
I know.
And you, like, feed them. It's so adorable.
You feel like such a good pup parent.
Yes.
So, fam, get ready for both you and your pup to be obsessed.
Head to Ollie.com/TCO. Tell them all about your dog. And use code TCO to get 70% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus, it's risk-free with their obsession guarantee. That's OLLIE.com/TCO and code TCO to get 70% off your first box.
Ollie, feed the obsession.
Oh, love that, Ollie.
Right? It's human grade. You should try it.
I'm going to take a bite tonight.
Okay. So we hear the recording, which is definitely an insurance policy. And Jasmine is saying like the time, the date, the location. He is recording this because he knows that shit's going to go down and he wants to protect himself.
But he's still going to go back and have sex with the lady who wants to have sex with him. Like, what's going on here is that they've been together. He realizes
at the Emerson Inn.
At the Emerson Inn. He now, because he leaves her alone for the entire night. And in the interim, I think, discovers that she's been kidnapped and is missing. And he's like supposed to go back and have sex with her the next morning. That's when he goes to Walmart, gets the recording device, sticks it in his pocket, and he like narrates his drive. I'm driving to the Emerson Inn.
Right.
She's in room 207.
So he enters the room. Quinn is giggling her annoying face
and
off.
And she has no idea she's being recorded.
And Jasmine's like, oh man, if everyone only knew you were just chilling here by yourself at the Emerson Inn off of Phillips Highway, room 207. And she's like, oh my God, now like I'm the sinister one. She's literally hee-hee-heeing.
She literally says, I'm starting to feel like I'm the sinister one doing this to my family. Like the thing that is forgotten here is like the children. Like this woman has kids.
Yeah. 2 little daughters too, which is like, I hope the cycle is broken because we don't need more bitches like this in the world.
This is like, I just cannot believe that there are people out there who like are so fucking selfish that they're doing this to their kids. Right. I just fucking
hate it. And
hateful
too. Yes. You know, like, fucking divorce.
But more of that. Like, just get a divorce.
Get the divorce. They start having sex. We hear absolutely everything.
Can I also tell you, though, he's trying to, like, passionately tell her how much he loves her. And he's really in it. She wants nothing to do with that.
She's like, does Reed get this much action? And she's like, oh, you know he doesn't. Obviously, there was no rape.
No!
There was no kidnapping. There was no nothing. But eventually, Quinn starts talking to Jasmine about the 50 grand.
Yes.
And she's basically like, Jasmine, like, this could change your life. This is, honestly, like, she's going to fucking give him a dime of that. No, she's not.
Because it gets a little bit confusing because we're talking about the 50 grand here. And like, it's weird that like, why do you need 50 grand when your husband is so rich? But then she's also now talking about like, well, forget about just pocketing the 50 grand. Why don't you just kill him?
And Jasmine, she goes, why don't you just blow his head off? And Jasmine's like, say what? And she repeats it.
Yeah.
And he's like, into the microphone. I know. And she does.
I know. By the way, like the acoustics on this, like they're naked, presumably having sex. This mic is like across the room.
I don't know where it is.
Everything.
So, but the feds say, all right, this makes it clear. Quinn wanted her husband Reed dead. Either she would kill him or she'd have Jasmine kill him or something else. But that's the goal here.
Because they say that like,
I think that might have been her end game because in a divorce, she'd get half. If Reed was dead, she'd get everything.
But in a murder, she'd get everything. Is half not enough?
To, like, not traumatize your kids or not, like...
Or not, like, kill their father and then probably also almost definitely get caught and then go to jail yourself and now your kids are orphans?
To what
end? What are we doing?
Like, what are we doing? So they didn't charge Quinn or Jasmine with conspiracy to murder. Instead, I guess they didn't have enough evidence for that. Instead, they're both charged with extortion.
Yeah.
And as she's doing the perp walk, Quinn is still denying everything. And she's like, if I wanted 50 grand, I would have taken it out of the bank account. I'm like, oh, attitude now? Now we have attitude, really?
This perp walk is everything. everything, because I feel like the sheriffs waited. Like, is the press all gathered? Like, it is the perpiest. They walk her in front of the cameras. People are screaming questions at her. She 100% was going to throw this guy Jasmine under the bus. If he didn't have that recording, he'd be in prison for rape for the rest of his life.
She wasn't going to give him a dime. And like, all of everything she did is awful, but it's lying about the rape where it's like, you're fucking dead to me, girl. Fuck you, bitch. It's
like all of it, like lying to the kids, like also like the use of the resources. We'll get to that in just a second.
The attitude. But she pleads no contest, aka nolo contendere. And I'm like, Alex, come on, after all we've been through, you're breaking out the Latin.
Was that just like no contest?
We're at the tail end of this thing, Alex.
Right.
Quinn gets 6 years probation. Jasmine gets six. And they had to pay 86 grand of restitution back to the sheriff's office because that's how much money was spent. And I'm like, was someone's thumb on the scale?
Well, my thing about 86 grand. The second time I was watching it, knowing that that was the outcome, that they were going to have to pay for all, like, they got choppers up in the air. They've got the fucking SWAT team. That only costs $86,000.
I thought 86 was a lot. I don't know anything about anything.
I mean, to like get choppers for days, to get like an entire SWAT team into that lady's dinner party's backyard, It feels like not enough money.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right. Quinn has moved on. She's married, of course.
And Reed is apparently also remarried. I love that neighbor Leslie.
Leslie.
This is the funniest thing.
What a dingbat Leslie is.
Leslie's like,
I'm sure people absolutely do deserve a second chance. I kind of gave her the second chance by keeping coming to yoga on the days I know she was teaching.
Continuing to go to yoga on the days that she's teaching.
These people are way too white and rich. It's too much.
Unbelievable.
You're way too white and way too rich, you assholes.
I was like, Leslie, does your yoga teacher know that you're in the documentary about her fake rape and kidnap?
And like, what second chances for what?
Also, Quinn, is your mother speaking to you? If I am your mother, you want to talk no contact. This is the time.
No.
The way that mother was traumatized and thrust into the center of the action is inexcusable.
I'm curious about the custody arrangement, too. We don't hear about that.
What? Right. Oh, my God. This is
I would
wild.
Say it's a security risk for my kids. Yeah. Who's to say she's not going to take them and fake another kidnapping in some other state? Like,
no,
you can't trust her.
Give the kids to Reed. I'm sure he's a son of a bitch, but
I'm
give
sure
them
he's
to
like,
him.
God damn it. I'm
I know.
With the kids.
Totally.
He seems like the type. Anyway, everyone's too white and rich. The end. Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, my God, girl. We did Feds, season two, episode two. I love that there's a whole first season of that.
Vanishing Out. We're going to get into, we're doing like, should I just tell you?
Yeah.
We're doing the diamond heist one.
What is it?
It's some like woman who goes on a diamond heist and they call her the Diamond Diva.
I'm obsessed.
So we're going back to season one of Feds. But I saw this one came out and my DMs were like, girl, like, please make this happen. So I rearranged everything because I was like, we need a little bit of like a
cunty energy.
Reprieve.
Yeah.
But then I went back and I was like, wait, there's a Diamond Diva from last year. So we're doing her too eventually.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed. Fam, don't forget to join the Facebook group. Don't forget to join the Discord. Don't forget to follow us on YouTube. YouTube, we have almost like 330,000 subscribers.
But if you want to just listen to us, that's fine too. I don't want to like force YouTube down.
No
force
question.
Video down people's throats.
We're doing our Patreon episodes as video as well, but they're video and audio. If you want to listen to audio, nothing changes. It's just the option is there to go watch the video.
Yeah.
That's it.
We love you either way.
We do. Very
Except
much.
Quinn. Fuck you, Quinn.
Quinn can go to hell.
Asshole.
All right, fam. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.